In 200 BC, when the Romans crossed the Adriatic and entered the Greek world, the Roman Republic had at its disposal, according to one count, at least 1 million trained men who could fight as legionaries and cavalry. Many of them were not Romans, they were Italian allies. Nonetheless, that manpower against a kingdom such as Macedon or the Seleucid Empire was enormous. The king of Macedon, the most powerful state in the Greek world, probably could field an army on the order of 35,000 men. So you can see the disparity in forces. Furthermore, Roman soldiers were extremely well trained. They fought in close order tactics with the sword. They fought to kill. There's reports that the Greeks were terrified when they first encountered the types of wounds inflicted by the Roman swords, the so-called gladius, which is a thrusting and cutting sword. They employed a very flexible system of tactics on the battlefield. And the Romans were just used to making war violently. They inflicted casualties on their opponents, and even when they went down into defeat, the Romans inflicted hideous casualties. So you're dealing with an extremely well-organized, warlike republic in Italy, one with the political and military institutions to wage these types of wars of conquest. And as I mentioned, a upper class that held the high offices of state and sat in the advisory senate, very suspicious of any potential rival. And that's what got them involved in the Greek world. The perception or the fear initially that a threat could emerge from the east, that some Macedonian king in the guise of an Alexander the Great would get it in his head to take on the Roman Republic. The first of a series of kings who had the misfortune of being well known to the Romans and ergo a threat by definition was a fellow called Philip V of Macedon. Phil had the unfortunate problem of antagonizing all of his enemies at the same time. As king of Macedon, he was very unpopular with many of the Greeks, notably the Athenians, his rival, the kings of Pergamon, the island republic of Rhodes, who all had good cause to invite the Romans into Greece. Furthermore, Philip had made the mistake of backing Hannibal during the Second Punic War. You couldn't make a worse blunder. It didn't end up in any kind of Macedonian invasion of Italy, and there was eventually a treaty signed with Rome. But the Romans never forgot this. And in 200 BC, the Romans declared war on Philip. Their forces crossed over to Greece. And really, it was just simply a matter of maneuvering Philip into a decisive battle. Once that battle took place at Cynocephali in 197 BC, the Macedonian army was destroyed on the battlefield and Rome was victorious. Then the Romans did something that was really quite perplexing to the Greeks. The Roman conqueror, a man named Flamininus, proclaimed freedom of the Greeks, that old phrase that goes back to the 5th century BC. The Romans methodically withdrew from Greece, did not establish garrisons or administration. Macedon was stripped of certain territories and humiliated, but left in place. The Roman Senate, the upper classes in Rome, realized that the conquest of the Greek world could be a rather poisoned legacy. Acquiring all of that wealth and power could allow a general, a commander, to raise himself above the other aristocrats, in effect, to play king in Rome. And this was unacceptable. And for the first generation or two in the Roman conquest of the Greek world, the Senate took a very standoff policy towards annexing kingdoms or putting in administration. What they preferred to do is turn over the running of these areas to dutiful clients. On the other hand, the poor Greeks actually took the Romans somewhat at face value. When they were told, you have freedom of the Greeks interpreted this to mean that the Roman was a distant friend, not an overlord, and that they were allowed to indulge in their usual politics and diplomacy, which would bring on wars and conflicts with traditional rivals. And the Romans didn't want this. They expected their Greek friends to act as dutiful clients, clientes in Latin, not as independent agents. And you get this constant misunderstanding between Romans and Greeks exactly what is meant by these arrangements when the Romans knock down a great king and then pull their legions east, west again to Italy. The second important war was a war fought with the second great monarchy, not the Macedonian king, but the Seleucid king Antiochus III, sometimes known as Antiochus the Great. That was an unfortunate title that Antiochus took for himself. Antiochus thought that he was really the new Alexander the Great, and he actually promoted that in a variety of ways. One was to march his armies first all the way to India and obtain elephants, and elephants had this sort of magical Alexander sense to it. You know, with elephants on the battlefield, Alexander had conquered India, the god Dionysus, so Antiochus could look like an Alexander the Great.